And I'll begin with this reflection: blind climber defines faith. And the writer says, Eric Wallmayer calls himself an unrealistic optimist. And that is a good description, since he was the first blind climber ever to reach the top of Mount Everest. Now he does business consulting and charity work, helping people to see the world in new ways. Asked by Fast Company magazine what he looks for in teammates, his response sums up what faith is all about. He said, I look for people who have an unrealistic optimism about life. I hear people say, seeing is believing. I want people who believe the opposite. Believing is seeing. You've got to believe first in what you're doing and be sure you have a reason to believe it. You can tell who those people are, he says. You say, hey, want to climb Everest with a blind guy? Pretty quickly, you'll figure out who is a believer. Amen? The interesting concept, believing is seeing, Paul says, we live by faith and not by sight. We who are believers, that's the scripture, we live by faith and not by sight. Meaning, we always don't see what the end is going to be. But we believe God and believe that the end is going to be what we are expecting or asking for. And so, the meaning of believing is seeing. We believe and then we see. That's the part that faith plays in our lives. We need to believe for it before we see it. And that is about faith. The Gospel of Mark continues to weave a fast-paced story for us. Mark is a gospel that is fast. It has all the immediatelys. More immediatelys, I think about 15 than any other gospel. It is fast-paced. And it moves the story of Jesus's, it moves the narrative of Jesus' story quickly. Mark tells us in chapter 10, and we read in the scriptures, he left the place and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And the crowds gathered around him. And as was his custom, he began to teach them. So Jesus is traveling, and if you know a little bit about that part of the world, you know Jesus was in Judea before, Jerusalem area. Now he's walking, his walk miles about 15 miles, and now he is in Jericho. And the crowd is following him because he's teaching and he's what? And he's performing miracles. Because Mark talks about the miracles of Jesus, right? He's performing miracles, and so he begins to teach in chapter 10 of the gospel, of Mark's gospel. He teaches about divorce, then he blesses the children, and then he talks about the rich man, and then he foretells his death and resurrection, and then the request from James and John we heard about last week. And so we see Jesus here, he's very busy, and he's on the move, right? He's on the move, and he's very busy. And so now we're going to see the healing of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus is now left from Judea and he's in Jericho. It's a good distance, as I said, from Jerusalem. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. Now, in those times, one must remember that a blind beggar got two things against him, right? He's a beggar and he's blind. He's an outcast, right? He's an outcast. And even though in our time, in our context, We do look at people who are beggars and homeless, right? We do look at them differently, don't we? No matter what we say. You know, I do the same thing as a Christian. There is a gentleman who walks down the street here. He comes down 2 times a day. He hops and he has a sign asking for money and asking for food. And he's coming from all the way, probably up in Westbury. And he walks all the way down here. And he comes back and he walks. And sometimes I'm in my kitchen and I look to the window because he's walking on West Oak Country Road. And I says, Lord, I must go out and give him something. And I have done that, but I can't do it every day. But I remember when I gave him something during the height of COVID, I felt guilty. I didn't want to go close to him. So I took the money I had and I put it on, you know, that thing at the front of the church, the stone. And I called him and I pointed him to it and gave it to him. Because within me, like everybody else, there's a little bit of what? Discrimination. You know, not discrimination in the sense of race or something, but you don't want to go near them. You don't know what they may have, somebody who is a beggar. It is human nature, right? We don't have to seem holier than thou, but it's human nature to want to what? Protect yourself, right? And not wanting to go close, especially in the time of COVID. But oftentimes when I see him, I says, oh Lord, is this a test for me? But the Lord knows I cannot always give, but I try to. And then one day he finally said to me as I was coming past, I was in my car and I came out and I called him and he says, you are over there, aren't you? And he pointed to the church. But I've seen people stop their cars and give him something, right? And he walks up. This is the idea of blind Bartimaeus. I'm just putting it in modern context so we understand that there are people who go through those things right now, right? And we try our best to help. We try our best to help. And so what happens is Bartimaeus is sitting there as a blind beggar was sitting by the roadside. So he's in a very terrible place because he has to beg for living. And when he heard, the scripture tells us, that Jesus of Nazareth, right? When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he heard it. That means his senses are good. Sometimes when you lose one sense, the other senses are alert, right? They say medically. So he heard that it was about Jesus of Nazareth. He began to shout out and say, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Remember, he cannot see Jesus, but he knows Jesus because he can hear, and the people are buzzing. And he believes before he can see. He believes that Jesus has the power to do something for him. And that is what believing, it means to believe before you can see. Right? He cannot see, but he believes. And the title he gives Jesus, Son of David, is a messianic title. The only place it's used in the gospel. It's used anywhere in the gospel, meaning that he is acknowledging that Jesus is the one who has been sent to be the Messiah. Right? He's obviously a Jewish man, and they're waiting for this Messiah. So when he says, Jesus, Son, he didn't say Son of God, Son of David, because the Jews believe that the Messiah was coming through the lineage of David, right? Son of David, have mercy on me. And many sternly ordered him to be quiet. Do you see what happened? They ordered him to be quiet. The man is blind and he needs help. But there's always somebody who don't understand and want you to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly. He was determined. He says, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have you ever cried out to Jesus in your own space? Lord, you've heard bad news. You've got a bad report from the doctor or something. He says, Lord, have mercy upon me. Jesus, have mercy upon me. I have. Going through difficulties. Lord, please have mercy upon me. You see, no one could stop him because he needs to be healed and he believes Jesus can heal him. He needs to be healed and he believes. And the Bible tells us, oh, what a wonderful day it was for Bartimaeus. Jesus stood still. That means his calling out to Jesus made him stand still. Friends, we can call out to Jesus and get his attention. Amen? We too can call out to Jesus and get his attention. Jesus stood still and says, call him here. Call him here. And so they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he's calling you. So there were some in the crowd who was for Bartimaeus. These are the ones who were shutting him up before, but now Jesus is calling him. And here's what the Bible says. So throwing off the cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. It is amazing that he would sprang up and came to Jesus, because how did he see? Scripture doesn't tell us, but somebody might have what? Held his hand. Or was he following Jesus' voice? How did he get to Jesus? Because he's blind. Those things always fascinate me, but it's not in the narrative. So you know, how did he get to Jesus? He sprang up and he came to Jesus. One can assume that probably someone grabbed his hand, took hold of his hand and took him to Jesus, or he heard and he followed the sound and went directly to him. But he sprang up and he went to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Do you hear the question, Christian believers? Jesus asks us many times, quietly in our heart, what do you want me to do for you? And it's up to us to tell Jesus. It is up to us to say, Lord, this is what I want from you. Will you heal me, Lord God? Heal me from this disease. Heal me. And the blind man said to him, my teacher, let me see. Clearly, he didn't give him a soliloquy. He didn't give him paragraphs and paragraphs. He just said, let me see again. That means Bartimaeus was able to see before. Let me see again. Bartimaeus believed before he received his sight, and Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Him believing in Jesus has made him, and immediately he regained his sight and he followed Jesus. Now, friends, what can we learn? What must we learn from Bartimaeus? One, first point, do not let anyone silence your voice or dampen your enthusiasm when you're chasing or when you're seeking after Jesus. Do not let anybody silence your voice or dampen your enthusiasm when you are seeking after Jesus. Amen? Nobody knows, I'm not putting them up yet, Ricky, because Doc's a little, right? Nobody knows what you're going through. Nobody knows what you're facing but you. And sometimes when you shout out or when you say, Lord, have mercy, whether it's in your home or in your church, don't let anybody quiet you. Call out to Jesus. They don't have to believe. You just have to believe. Amen? Sometimes you're crying out for your children. Sometimes you're crying out for your own self. Let no one stop you. You cry out to God. Number two, obstacles will be put in your way. Be ready to cast them aside. You see, Bartimaeus cast off the cloak because he had to get to Jesus. That picture of that cloak being on him was an obstacle keeping him back. He wanted to be free, so he cast it off so he could move quickly to Jesus. Whatever obstacle is in your way, whatever obstacle, you need to get over it, do and be ready to cast it aside when you want to get to Jesus. You see, blind Bartimaeus' story should be our story. We should be so desperate for Jesus that we will chase after him despite what others say to us. No matter what others say to us, we should seek Jesus. Third point, don't pay attention to the crowd. Don't pay attention. Don't pay attention to the naysayers. Don't pay attention to the crowd, friends. Seek Jesus. Seek Jesus for yourself. Don't pay attention to what people are saying, what they're texting, what they're writing on Facebook. That's the place that's causing a lot of trouble now, you know. Don't pay attention. Do what you must do to get your healing. And my fourth and last point, your relationship with Christ is personal. My relationship with Christ is personal. It is not anybody else's relationship, and we could learn that from Bartimaeus. Because what did he do? Immediately, he regained his sight, and he followed him on the way. He followed Jesus on the way. No one could stop him. He didn't turn back. He didn't run home. He was going to build a personal relationship with Jesus. Amen? Your personal relationship and mine, it is personal. I seek Jesus in my way, and you seek him in your way. But the key is we're seeking Jesus. And then as we read the gospel, as we read the Psalms, what a psalm it is. I really think to myself, this would be a psalm of Bartimaeus. I'm just going to pick a couple of the verses after he was healed. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Couldn't you hear Bartimaeus saying that? He's now been healed. I will bless the Lord. When God has done something for us, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And then the psalmist says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. Bartimaeus was delivered that day and he was healed. And verse 6 says, the poor soul cried out and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. When we cry out to the Lord, he will save us from every trouble. Not the way we necessarily think it's going to be, but he will do it. And so the psalmist ends by saying the last verses, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. I say to you, church, today and those online, if you haven't tasted Jesus, if you haven't got a fill with Jesus, if you haven't taken him into your heart and in your soul, come on and taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from all and keeps all their bones. Not one of them will be broken. The Lord is our Savior. Amen? Amen. And so, friends, as I close, this little song says, we have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He has never failed us yet. And so we can't turn around. We cannot turn back. Please don't turn back, believers. Don't turn around, because we have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. Amen? Amen. We must continue to trust him and to believe that he will show up for us. There are people who have got diagnoses, who are sick. We know that Dana's mother is sick. You know that we have all heard about it, that Dana's mother has been diagnosed with several masses and she's ill. And we are praying for her. But she's holding on by faith, trusting in the Lord to bring her through. We are holding on by faith for her, holding on to God's unchanging hand. We don't know what the end is going to be. We don't know what's going to happen at the end. But we know that God is able. Jesus says, I'm able and willing to heal you. So hold on, and whoever else is praying for situation, I've been diagnosed and they're praying, I am telling you, hold on by faith in the name of Jesus and continue to hold on and don't let go until God says so. Whatever the end is going to be, it will be. We don't know. We don't have to worry, but we must believe before seeing it. Winnie, we must believe until we see it. We keep believing until we see it by God's amazing grace. Amen? Amen. And so, friends, we serve a Savior who loves us. Amen.